Well, good morning, Church of Christ.
Good morning.
Hope you all are doing well today. Thank you so much for being here. First and foremost, I want to thank our visitors for being here this morning. You are our honored guests, and we're very thankful to have you with us. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. I don't want to alarm anyone when I say this, but don't look now, because there's a lion in the parking lot. Obviously, no, there's not a lion in the parking lot. But I'd like for you to imagine, just for a moment, that right here, right outside this window, right outside that wall over there, there is a real, honest to God, living lion pacing back and forth, wild and hungry, right out there in the Boyd Lake Road Church of Christ parking lot. I've got a question for you. How many of you are willing to go through those doors back there, to go out in that parking lot and face that lion? Well, obviously, none of us are willing to go out there and face that lion. And why is that? It's because we realize the danger. The immediate physical danger is what we realize, and there perhaps is the problem. We are all aware of the immediate physical dangers that we face here in our physical lives. But perhaps, oftentimes, we forget about the spiritual life that God has given us and the dangers to that spiritual life that we have chosen to live in Christ. Those dangers are from Satan himself. Brother Gerald read this scripture earlier, but let's read it together right now. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll read verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." As a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Every one of us here need to realize, sooner rather than later, that there is more to life than just life. We must realize that there's something greater, something beyond this life. But there are so many things in this life that can cause us to lose our focus on God. We all know that Satan is a danger, but unfortunately we're not always on guard as well as we should be, are we? We're not always aware of the fact that we need to be on guard. And why is that? Why aren't we always on guard and aware of Satan? Well, that's because our focus is often drawn to this physical life that we live, and we forget about the spiritual, and we forget about the eternal. Well, I'm here to tell you today that one of the things that we need to understand is just how subtle Satan can be. In fact, wasn't subtlety the tactic that Satan used in the Garden of Eden? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. All the way back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, we'll read verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Satan didn't just come straight out and tell Eve the truth, now did he? He wasn't going to do that, was he? Oh, no. Satan was going to be cunning. Satan was going to be sly. Satan was going to lie and deceive. His plan was to misrepresent the things that God had said. He turned Eve's focus away from God, right? Away from the spiritual relationship that was between Eve, Adam, and God, and turned it towards the tree. Satan took her focus off of God and placed it on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and on the fruit of that tree. He showed her, she saw. She saw that the tree was good for food and that it would be able to make her wise. Eve took her focus off of God because of the subtlety and the craftiness of Satan. Well, as we're gathered here this morning for this brief time of worship, I think it's important for us to understand some things about Satan, about what he wants, about what he desires. Three things that Satan wants concerning us, concerning the church. Number one, the first thing that Satan wants to do is to keep you out of church. Make no mistake about it, Satan does not want you to be a member of the Lord's church, the church that Jesus died for. I want you to think for a minute. Think about all the multitudes of people who are not members of the Lord's church. Think about this. Satan has them. He has them right where he wants them. He is giving them everything physically, immorally, everything in the world that they desire. Why? Why is he doing this? To keep them. To keep them right where they are. That thought should break our hearts. Because I have, and I'm sure some of you do too, have some dear friends and even family members that are in the clutches of Satan. Some of whom I fear may never escape him. Please understand this. Satan does not want you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. He does not want you to be saved. In fact, he will do anything and everything in his power to keep you right there in his hand. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ, well, then you are with Satan. And you know what? Satan knows that. Satan knows who is in his camp, and he also knows who's in God's camp. So when Satan, like a lion seeking whom he may devour, he isn't seeking to devour those that are in his own camp. He's seeking those of the faith, those in God's camp. Satan knows that the saved are in the body, in the church. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read verse 23. Ephesians 5, verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." The devil knows that the saved are those who have obeyed the gospel and have been added to his church. He wants to keep you out of it at all costs. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Acts 2, verse 47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So when you are saved by obeying the gospel of Christ, you are added to the church. Satan wants to keep you out of the church. The devil knows that Jesus died for the church. Acts chapter 20. Just a few pages over. Acts chapter 20. Acts 20 and verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. The Bible says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The devil wants that death, Jesus' death, to be wasted. He thought that when Jesus died on the cross, that he had won. What a rude awakening Satan had just 3 days later when Jesus came forth out of the grave, victorious over death. So now, Satan knows that the death of Jesus was not wasted, and it was absolutely not in vain. Unless we do not answer the call of the gospel. If we do not respond to the call, if we don't obey the gospel, well, then the death of Jesus was wasted, and Satan did win, in our case at least. So Satan wants to keep us out of the church because Satan does not want God or his Son to receive the glory that they deserve. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 21 with me. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Satan wants to keep you out of the church because he doesn't want God's eternal purpose to be realized. Satan knows that God's eternal purpose is to spend eternity with his children, you and me. Satan does not want that to happen. So, brothers and sisters, how does Satan hope to ruin God's eternal purpose? By keeping you and me out of church. And how does he hope to keep you out of the church? How's he going to do that? Well, first let's look at this scripture. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Is it any wonder that the Bible tells us to try or test the spirits, whether they be of God? 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll read verse 1. 1 John 4, verse 1. The Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out to the world." Why does the Bible say that we should try the spirits? Because Satan is going to do everything he can to keep you and me out of church. Even by transforming himself into an angel of light, and that he has his own ministers, they too will appear to be ministers of righteousness. Do we really think that Satan is going to manifest himself to us in the way that we see in TV and movies, the way many artists use him to be hideous, evil looking? Will he appear to us in a red suit with horns on his head, a tail, waving his pitchfork? Well, if he did that, who would fall for it? Who would fall for that? No one, because we would be aware of him. We would just as much avoid him as we would that lion that's out there in that parking lot. But he's not going to appear to us like that. No, he is far too cunning, too sly, remember? He is a liar, and he is the father of all liars. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 44. John 8:44. The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is the father of lies. Therefore, he presents himself differently in order to trick or lure us in. How does he lure us? First of all, Satan's servants teach that the church is not important. The church is not essential. Satan keeps a lot of people out of the church by convincing them that the church is not important. You ever hear anyone say something like, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I can be saved without ever going to church. I'm a nice person, so that's just good enough for me to make it to heaven. These are some of the greatest lies that Satan has in his arsenal. Satan's servants will substitute human, man-made churches for the Lord's church. If he can't keep people out of the Lord's church, he wants them to be a part of something other than the Lord's church. All you have to do is look around at all the different denominations in the world, all teaching different doctrines, to know that something is wrong. Do you want to go to church? Do you want to be religious? Well, that's fine, Satan says. Just don't be part of the one that Jesus died for. Don't be a part of the one that worships in spirit and in truth. You go ahead, you worship anything you want. You worship something. You worship someone. You worship some false god. That's fine with Satan. He doesn't care. He doesn't care at all, just as long as you don't worship the one true living God. Satan's servants ridicule and misrepresent those who love the Lord's church. They've done a great job in this world convincing people that the people in the church are no different than the people in the world. That the people in the Lord's church are judgmental. That they're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Well, that's Satan talking. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't hypocrites and judgmental people in the Lord's church. There are. But Satan is convincing so many people that that is all the church is. Not true. It's just not true. Satan has kept a lot of people out of the church because his servants convinced a lot of people that they have plenty of time to become a Christian. You want to obey the gospel? You want to serve God? That's okay with the devil, but don't rush. Slow down. Take your time. Go live your life for a while. Your way, the way you want to live it. Enjoy it while you're young. Again, that is Satan talking to you. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 14. James 4:14. The Bible says, whereas ye know that know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. Satan wants to keep you out of church, and he will do everything he can to accomplish just that. The second thing that Satan wants, if he can't keep you out of church, then he wants to bring you back to him. Right? He wants to drag you back into the world. Here is where I think he spends the majority of his time, trying to pull Christians back into the world. Why does he want to do that? Well, ultimately, he wants you to be lost. He wants you to be brought back into the world for the same reason that he wants to keep you out of church, to keep you in his grasp. The devil does not want you to deny yourself anything. You go ahead and live your life. Live it however you want to live it. We all live in America, right? The land of the free. And there is nobody that's going to tell me what I have to do, right? As wonderful as that freedom is, as much of a blessing that freedom is that we enjoy in this country, I'm afraid it's also done a great disservice to us spiritually, because a lot of people spiritually live by that very same motto, the very same attitude. I live in the land of the free, so I don't have to worship God. Well, no. No, you don't have to. Satan knows that you don't have to. He doesn't want you to deny yourself of any of the pleasures of this world by living the Christian life. Satan loves to make Christians spiritual adulterers. James chapter 4. Still there, James chapter 4, but look at verse number 4 now. Number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 6. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. The Bible says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Satan wants you. God wants you. God wants you to make a decision. You are either with God or against God. You're either hot or you're cold. Satan says, go ahead and serve us both. You can have it both ways. You ever heard the expression, you can have your cake and eat it too? That's how Satan feels. The Bible teaches us that if a person falls in love with the world, then he no longer loves God, but is a spiritual adulterer. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 15. Scriptures read, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Satan wants to bring you back. He needs to bring you back to his camp. 2 Peter chapter 2. Just a few pages over. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Satan knows this, and so he attempts. He attempts constantly to get you back. And he tries to do this through the love of the world. He makes sin instantly gratifying. He makes sin pleasurable and fun. Isn't it because it's fun that we commit sin and pleasurable? I mean, if sin felt like hitting your toe on a chair, or sin felt like bumping your head on the wall, nobody would do it, right? Why do people sin? Why? Because it's fun. Because it feels good. Why do people get addicted to drugs and alcohol? Because of the immediate escape that these things have to offer. There is an escape from reality. But what Satan doesn't want you to know or realize or think about is the aftermath of those things. The long-term effects and the consequences. Physical pleasures instantly gratify. And that's what Satan wants you to think about, the instant pleasure and gratification. He doesn't want you to think about the broken homes, the diseases, or the breakdown of society as we know it. No, Satan wants you to live for the world and the things in it. He makes them pleasurable to us. He also uses the company that we keep, our friends, close family, loved ones, to drag us back into the world. Did your parents or grandparents ever say this to you? it's a whole lot easier to drag somebody down than it is to build someone up. Maybe when we were younger, we didn't really understand what that meant, but it sure makes sense to us now, doesn't it? And if we're not careful, then a lot of the people in this society, even some of the ones that we associate with on a daily basis, will drag us out of the church. That's why Paul wrote what he did in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 11. Ephesians 5, verse 11. The scriptures read, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't shake hands with evil, because I guarantee you, if you shake hands with evil, it will pull and pull, and it will not let go. Satan will pull at you through people who try to weaken our faith, through wanting to try to please family and friends. Satan will use temporal things to try to drag us away from that spiritual way of life. When these things no longer work on us to drag us back into the world, he'll use false doctrine. He'll use false doctrine to divide the church and drag us back into the world, back into his camp. Satan does not want you to be a member of the Lord's church in the first place, but if you are, you and I need to be aware that he will do everything he can to drag us back into his camp. The third and final thing Satan wants, if Satan can't keep you out of church, and if he can't drag you back into the world, well, then he wants you to become a useless member of the body of Christ. What does that mean, to be a useless member of the body of Christ? Well, Satan knows that the unfruitful tree will be cut down and cast into the fire, right? Let's read about that. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Satan is perfectly content for us to be unfruitful because he knows what will happen to the unfruitful. We're supposed to be living for God, right? Shining examples in our communities. Satan does not want us to do that. So if he can keep us simply sitting on a pew, well, that's fine with Satan. But just realize that just as long as you sit there on a pew, don't do anything to spread the good news, not really paying attention, not applying the messages that we hear to our lives, well, when you walk out those doors, when you leave this building, Satan is happy. He's happy. He wants you to be a useless member in the body of Christ. Satan knows that lukewarm Christians, he knows what they do to God. He knows that a dead faith cannot save. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we'll read verse 24. James chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Satan knows that to know to do right and then not do it is sin. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." If we become lukewarm, Satan will become happy. He accomplishes this by keeping us spiritually ignorant. Think about it. I can't do something that I don't know how to do, right? I can't be the kind of Christian that God wants me to be if I don't know what that is. The devil says, that's fine with me. You want to be a member of the church? And if I can't get you back in the world, then that's okay. Just sit there. But don't you learn anything. Don't you study the Bible and use it in your daily life. Just have the enough to get by attitude. You know what the enough to get by attitude is? Well, that says things like, well, I go to church 3 times a week. I put my money in the collection plate every time it goes by. Every first day of every week, I take the Lord's Supper. I'm doing just enough to get by. I am being inactive. That's what that is. The devil knows that hypocrisy keeps us inactive, so he'll use it. People pretending to be something that they're not. The devil is just fine with us pretending. He doesn't want us, he doesn't want you to be a Christian. If you are, he will do everything he can to keep you in his grasp, drag you out of the church and back into the world. Don't let him. Don't let him do that. Be faithful no matter what. James chapter 4 and verse 7. The scripture says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James tells us that if we will submit to God and resist the devil, what will happen? He will flee from us. Will you do those two things? Will you submit to God? And will you resist the devil? These are the three things that Satan wants with regard to you and the church. Number one, he wants to keep you out of the church. Number two, he wants to bring you back into the world. And number three, he wants to render you useless. This morning we spent some time talking about what the devil wants. Now let's ask, what does God want? God desires to have an eternal relationship with his children, with us, with you and me. And that desire was so deep that he sent his only son to die on the cross just so that relationship could happen, have a fighting chance. The devil did everything he could to stop God's plan. God's plan was successful. That's something that we need to remember. God's plan will always be successful. Don't let Satan have his way with you and your life. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never repented of your sins, you've never confessed your faith in Christ, never been baptized for the remission of your sins, the question this morning is, why not? Why continue to allow God to not be in your life? Why continue to allow Satan to have his way with you? If you are a Christian, but Satan has dragged you back into the world, why? Why continue to allow Satan to have his way with you? Why, when God has a plan to bring you home? If you are a Christian, but Satan has rendered you useless, again, the question must be, why would you continue to allow him to have his way with you? What does God want? He wants you. He wants me. He wants us to be on the winning team. He wants us in his camp. He loves us, and he wants to spend eternity in heaven with us. Why not choose God's way? Choose God's way as we stand and as we sing. Thank you.